the Pinnacle 5 podcast series. I'm Summer Yeiser, host of this series of information and advice on financial topics. Our topic for this podcast is estate planning. Our guest, Keith Davis, is a trust advisor at Pinnacle. He has been helping individuals create and manage their estate plans for more than 18 years. One prevailing myth is that estate planning is only for the wealthy. Keith will discuss the five things we all need to know about estate planning.
Hi, Summer. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad we're discussing this topic because recently I came across a website that posted the wills of famous people like Princess Di, John F. Kennedy Jr., Elvis, and others. How can a private document like a last will and testament be available to the public?
Well, a will is one document as part of an estate plan, and they are made public through a process called probate, which happens after the person dies.
So does that mean that anyone can get a copy of my last will and testament when I die?
They could. They would have to go to the courthouse to get that copy.
But Keith, what if I don't want my last will and testament to be made public?
Well, you could avoid public knowledge regarding the assets of your estate by setting up a living trust during your life. Trust documents are private, and people who seek privacy title their assets in the name of a living trust and then have a document called a pour-over will. The pour-over will is the only document that is probated, and therefore it's the only public document, but it transfers any remaining assets to the trust upon death. For example, Michael Jackson employed this strategy in his estate. You can also have beneficiary designations on assets that can bypass your last will and testament.
Okay, but if someone doesn't have a large estate like Michael Jackson or Elvis Presley, do they still need to have an estate plan?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, Summer. Everyone needs an estate plan, regardless of net worth. Do you want to review some of the basics of estate planning?
Only if you do not try to do any more impersonations.
Fair enough. Okay, five things that everyone needs to know about estate planning includes the following. Number one, every person needs an estate plan regardless of their net worth or the amount of assets they own. Number two, the state in which you live has an estate plan for you if you don't have one, and you must act to avoid the state's default plan. Number three, a good estate plan considers morbidity as well as mortality, and therefore more than just a last will and testament is needed. Number four, how your assets are titled is an essential part of estate planning. Number five, your last will and testament will create a lasting impression to your loved ones, and it could leave unintentional conflicts without careful consideration.
Keith, could you elaborate in greater detail on those points, please?
Sure. The first one we already touched on. Everyone needs an estate plan regardless of their net worth or the amount of assets that they own. The first reason to have an estate plan is to protect your beneficiaries. If you have children who are minors, it is necessary to name a guardian. Also, it may be necessary to protect adult beneficiaries from bad decisions, outside influences, creditor problems, and sometimes divorcing spouses. The amount of assets doesn't matter. It could be $10,000 or $10 million. In the absence of a plan, dissension and controversy can revolve around a family heirloom or even smaller things. If the beneficiary is a minor, all 50 states require a guardian or conservator to be appointed to oversee the minor's needs and finances until the minor reaches the age of majority. That's 18 in the state of Tennessee, unless the child is still in high school. You can prevent family discord and costly legal expenses by taking the time to designate a guardian and trustee for your minor beneficiaries.
Keith, you mentioned that you can also protect adult beneficiaries. How and why would you do that?
That's a good question. If the beneficiary is already an adult but is bad at managing money or has an overbearing spouse or partner who you fear will squander the beneficiary's inheritance or take it in a divorce, then you can create an estate plan that will protect the beneficiary from their own bad decisions as well as those of others. Other reasons to have an estate plan are to reduce estate taxes, protect assets from unforeseen creditors, and avoid family conflicts. Through the most basic planning, married couples can reduce or even possibly eliminate estate taxes altogether by setting up trusts as part of their wills, or revocable living trusts. In addition, a variety of advanced estate planning techniques can be used by both married couples and individuals to make the estate or inheritance tax less burdensome or in some cases completely go away. Many clients seek the advice of an estate planning attorney after personally experiencing or seeing a close friend or business associate experience a significant waste of time and money due to a loved one's failure to make an estate plan. Having the right plan and choosing the right administrator will go a long way towards avoiding family fights and costly court proceedings. The second thing to remember is that your state has an estate plan for you if you don't have one, and you must act to avoid the state's default plan. If you die without a will, then the laws of the state where you live, called intestacy laws, will dictate who will inherit your probate estate and how much they'll inherit.
Why can't you just rely on the state's laws to plan your estate?
Well, the plan that your state has for you most likely won't be 100% of what you would want if you'd taken the time to create your own plan. A common misconception is that your spouse will inherit 100% of your probate estate, and that's not true in many states, particularly if you have children. The wife of murdered NFL quarterback Steve McNair, Michelle McNair, is unfortunately experiencing the problems that dying without a will creates. The Tennessee law provides that she will only receive 1/3 share of Steve McNair's probate estate. That's right, just 33.3%. That's not even close to 100%.
That's terrible. Who gets the rest of the money?
It goes to their children. And in this case, they had two children between them and two children from a prior marriage. So Michelle will get 33% of the estate, and all four of the children will share the other 66%. Now, the judge may decide to put the money in a trust for the children's benefit until they reach the age of 18. And once the children turn 18, it becomes theirs, free from trust, and does not go to the spouse for living expenses or retirement. The best way to avoid this type of scenario is to have an estate plan. That will ensure that your wishes are carried out and your heirs will not be dependent upon the state's laws. Now, the third point I want to make is that a good estate plan considers morbidity as well as mortality, and therefore more than just a last will and testament is needed.
Now, Keith, when you say mortality, I know you're referring to death, but when you say morbidity, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, morbidity is the time before death, but while a person is ill or not able to make their own financial and health care decisions. Most people tend to think of their estate plan in terms of what happens when they die, but it is also important to plan for what happens if or when you become incapacitated or lose the ability to protect yourself physically and financially before death.
That does sound morbid. I usually try not to think about that.
Yes, it's not a scenario people love to imagine, but it's better to be prepared. There are a few documents that can help individuals plan for illnesses or incapacity before death. The first is to have a durable power of attorney for health care. That document appoints an individual to make health care decisions if a person is unable to make their own decisions. Another document is a durable power of attorney for finance, and that document appoints the power to make financial decisions on behalf of the individual. But be very careful when appointing a durable power of attorney for finance, because they have the power to steal assets when a person is most vulnerable. Sometimes appointing one child among siblings as a financial power of attorney can create the opportunity for mistrust and even lead to family divisions.
So how can I be sure to appoint a responsible person?
Well, one option is to have a bank trust department serve as the durable power of attorney for finance, as well as the executor and trustee in your last will and testament. Bank trust departments are set up to handle matters of estate, including paying bills, and it's a great benefit to have a bank trust department assisting a family in these types of situations. First, a bank trust department is a neutral party and can provide an accounting and preserve trust among family members. Reputable institutions have insurance to protect a family in an unlikely event that an employee of the bank acted fraudulently with a person's financial assets. Another important document to make sure you have is a health care directive or a living will. This document communicates to doctors and relatives your specific wishes pertaining to extraordinary measures, such as life support in the event of a terminal illness. The fourth thing everyone needs to know is how assets are titled is an essential part of estate planning. Estate planning begins with the necessity of taking an inventory of how their assets are titled. It's unfortunately common that someone may have a well-written estate plan, but their wishes are not carried out because of the way the asset is titled, or there's a beneficiary designation that causes the asset to bypass their estate plan altogether.
Could you give us an example?
Sure. If someone owns real estate that is titled joint with right of survivorship, upon the death, the real estate transfers to the person with whom the asset is jointly titled. If the person making the will wished to transfer the real estate to a trust, let's say to avoid estate taxes, then that person should have the real estate titled in their name or titled tenants in common if there is more than one owner. Ownership, beneficiary designations, and payable upon death designations should all be reviewed on existing insurance policies, annuities, retirement plans, investment accounts, CDs, bank accounts, and every other asset that is part of the estate plan. The fifth and final point is that your last will and testament will create a lasting impression to your loved ones and could leave unintentional conflicts without careful consideration. A last will and testament may communicate affection in some way, but that is not its purpose because it is a legal document. A last will and testament is designed to transfer the assets of the decedent. It can be misinterpreted and serve as a last impression of the person who made the will. Sometimes unintended consequences can result. Therefore, consider carefully what your estate plan communicates and think beyond the circumstances that may change.
Keith, could you share some examples with our listeners?
Sure. I'll give you two examples. One, an example of the division of assets, and the other in the appointment of the administrator of the estate. In the division of assets, suppose there's a parent with two different children that have different personalities. One child may be very responsible with money, and the other child may spend everything that they ever get. The parent may want to leave the inheritance for the child that spends everything in a trust so that they won't spend it all during their lifetime. But they might be concerned of showing favoritism by not placing the other assets in trust for the responsible child. In that case, the parent may elect to leave all of their assets in trust for both children, and then the terms of distribution can address the special needs for the one child who spends everything. In the other example of appointing an administrator, I had an elderly client who believed that her father favored her older brother more than her, and she explained to me that in his last will and testament, he confirmed this preference for her older brother because he named her brother as executor of his estate. Now, most likely, that isn't what her father had in mind at all, and that is why it may be beneficial to appoint a third-party corporate executor and trustee, such as Pinnacle Trust. A neutral party avoids an impression of favoritism.
So you're saying a will or trust is not the place to tell beneficiaries what they mean to you?
That's right. Remember, the purpose of an estate plan is to protect you and your beneficiaries. Your documents should be timeless in nature, and therefore, there are many considerations. Always consult a legal professional when having your legal documents drafted.
Okay, Keith, I'm going to recap what I've heard from you and what we hope the listeners will take away from this podcast. Number one, we all need an estate plan, regardless of net worth or assets. Number two, states have default plans if we don't have an estate plan, and it probably won't be the same as our wishes. Number three, a good estate plan factors in both morbidity and mortality, which requires more than just a last will and testament. Number four, how your assets are titled is an essential part of estate planning. And finally, number five, your last will and testament creates a lasting impression to your loved ones. It could leave unintentional conflicts without careful consideration. Keith, what else should we do to learn more about this complicated subject?
If you don't know a trust advisor, I would advise you to talk with your financial advisor, who can put you in touch with one. Occasionally, I conduct lunch and learn workshops at Pinnacle offices where anyone can come to learn more about how to set up their estate plan. There's also more information in Pinnacle's online learning center.
Keith, thank you for helping us understand the importance of estate planning. And thanks to everyone for listening to this Pinnacle 5 podcast. As Keith mentioned, I invite you to check out the Learning Center at www.pnfp.com for more information about establishing wills and trusts.